This combination of companies brings two large families of consumer brands together. The story of these great companies can be read as a history of American manufacturing and marketing. Procter & Gamble began first and grew into one of the biggest marketers of consumer products on the planet.
Its story started in what was the hog butchering capital of this country in 1830. Two immigrants, William Procter and James Gamble, arrived in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Procter was a candle maker from England.
Gamble, an Irish-born soap maker.
They became related by marriage. William Procter wed Olivia Norris. Gamble married her sister Elizabeth. With a little pressure from their new father-in-law, Alexander Norris, the husbands set up business together, selling the wares each excelled in.
They were very upright characters, and they made their way in the business by insisting on selling goods that were as advertised.
That's Davis Dyer. He's lead author of the book Rising Tide, Lessons from 165 Years of Brand Building at Procter & Gamble. Dyer says the company's fortune spiked during the 1860s.
They were reasonably successful, and a big breakthrough moment for them was to get the candle contract for the Union Army during the Civil War. So they sold lots and lots of candles.
After becoming a sort of Halliburton of the times, Procter & Gamble's next big innovation came about by accident, or so the legend goes.
Supposedly, a soap maker at the company forgot to shut off a mixer when he left for lunch. A lot of air was whipped into the soap, and that made it float. The soap got on the market by mistake, but soon customers clamored for it. The company advertised it as the soap that floats and gave it a name meant to evoke purity, ivory. Davis Dyer.
One of the great innovations in American business history, world business history for that matter, was the branding of ivory soap in the 1880s as a product that had a long life outside the name of Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble successfully built up a web of associations around ivory that made it a kind of home and hearth brand.
P&G learned to use evocative names to create images in customers' minds. Up to that point, products had simply borne a person's last name or the name of a city. But with mass marketing and magazines becoming available, the rules changed. A century later, Procter & Gamble is a collective populated with catchy names.
Tide.
Pampers.
Charmin.
Bounty.
Cheer.
Crest.
Bold.
Dash.
Downy.
Pert.
Scope.
Zest.
Gillette's story started with a Wisconsin-born man who wound up in Boston at the beginning of this century.
The company was named for King Gillette, who was the entrepreneur and visionary behind the safety razor. And it was one of the great inventions of the early 20th century, particularly as far as men are concerned, because it meant that we no longer had to shave with straight razors or spend lots of time idling in barbershops. And that was a product for which there was no unbranded analog, so that when Gillette associated his name with it, he was creating something new, whereas when ivory was created, people had alternative ways of getting soap.
By creating a device that needed constant replenishing, that is, more replaceable blades, King Gillette also hit on a marketing model that survives to this day. Disposability. Once you buy the razor, you're dependent on the company that makes the blades. All a bit odd for a man of King Gillette's original philosophical ilk.
He was a visionary, a socialist, or a utopian of sorts. He envisioned something called a world corporation that would manage the economy in ways to eliminate poverty and to provide secure employment for everyone. And he was not able to realize that, needless to say.
And everybody would have a good shave.
Everybody would have a good shave, and that's actually how he hoped to pay. He had written a book in the 1890s advocating this world corporation. It was called The Human Drift, and this was before he had founded the company, and there was not so much interest in his book, and so he founded the company as a way of generating some revenue to promote his ideas.
You mean, having failed at utopian socialism, he had nothing to do but become a world-famous capitalist?
Yeah, there's an irony there.
In 1910, the Gillette Razor Company sought and won the product endorsement of Major League Baseball stars, and a long bond with sports was born.
Gillette clung to the image of manly athletic endeavors. By the time my generation came along, and even before we shaved, or refused to shave, the name Gillette was tied to the cavalcade of sports on radio and television, and to this ditty, which told you that something great was about to happen, a boxing match or a World Series game.
Ooh, look sharp! Every time you shave,
to feel sharp and be on the ball.
Just be sharp. New Gillette blue blades for the quickest, slickest shaves.
The Look Sharp March from Gillette in 1953, 52 years later, Gillette and Procter & Gamble are joining to become the largest consumer products company.